I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. If you were like us, you were watching the draft last night. It was we're 23 hours away from that first when that first pick happened, because we were sitting there going, when are they going to? I mean, my heavens, they're taking so long to get there, and then finally they got there. And the Utah Jazz, as we start to look at it, of course, there always has to be an unpronounceable name from the very beginning. And the very when Udoka Azubuike was announced by Adam Silver, the commissioner of the league, I think we all looked at each other and went, one, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. Two, I didn't see him on any of the best players available boards. Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he is our Jazz insider for KSLSports.com. Ben, what was your odds-on favorite that Udoka Azubuike was going to be the guy chosen by the Jazz in that 27th spot?
Yeah, I certainly didn't see that coming for the Jazz. But you know what? Maybe we should have seen something like that happening, because they were so comfortable trading back from 23 down to 28 or 27, they clearly knew the guy they were going to draft was going to fall that far, because nobody else wanted him at that range. So either the Jazz thought they were smarter than everybody else in the room, or they were comfortable over drafting.
Yeah, well, tell me about him. I mean, what does it mean to draft him? Does it mean that he's a guy that could replace Rudy Gobert, or is he a guy that is going to be that backup when Rudy goes out of the game? What was the purpose, and how does this guy help the Jazz?
I think 95% of the idea was to have a player who, having played 4 years at Kansas, he's got an NBA body already. He needs to get in better shape, but everybody does coming out of college. He should be able to step on the floor and play right away. So in that sense, you drafted a guy that fills a bit of an immediate need. You weren't very good at backup center this last year because Ed Davis was a bust and Tony Bradley never developed, and that's why he got traded to Detroit. So you brought in a guy to fix one of your issues that you had this last season. But I do think, and it's a bit unspoken, that there's a hope or a chance and a willingness that if he does develop into this guy who blocks a lot of shots, catches lobs, runs up and down the floor, and can do, I don't know, what percentage of Rudy Gobert does he need to do for the Jazz to feel comfortable moving on from Rudy and not paying him $150 million a year when you have a guy with a similar skill set who makes $2 million a year? It's not that the Jazz goal was from drafting him.
And,
but if it happened,
it'd be a benefit.
Let it happen.
Yeah, and that's
there's an upside to it if it happens.
Here's the thing, too. We've spent so many of these last few years like babysitting Rudy's feelings. Like, are you doing okay? Like, he has to be checked on all the time to see if he's like mad about something, if something offended him, if somebody said something that slighted him, if there was a, you know, I feel like that there's always been some way that we've had to kind of, you know, see how Rudy's feeling. And you know he has a propensity for being slighted. Is it the kind of thing where he would have seen that last night as that type of a move? Or is he comfortable enough knowing he's Rudy Gobert, he's the guy, who needs to be replaced. Not he's going to be replaced, but that you have to show up and show something really amazing if you're going to replace the Stifle Tower.
Yeah, I don't think Rudy feels the threat of it. He may feel slighted, like, what, you're not happy with my work? You're not, you know, I'm not giving you exactly what Azubuike does and do it, you know, 10 times better at this point in my career. I'm sure Rudy notes that. He's petty. He's certainly going to recognize that might be a tiny, tiny shot over the bow. But otherwise, I can't imagine Rudy's going to react poorly. And also, yeah, you know, Rudy likes other big guys. Rudy's going to be nice to him. I think Rudy's actually probably going to show him the ropes. I don't think Rudy's terribly worried about losing his job at this point.
So other draft picks, the second round pick, what does that mean to the Jazz? Is that a good pick? Is that a bad pick?
Elijah Hughes is interesting in the sense that I think it's a good pick. And actually, if you kind of look at everybody else who does it, John Hollinger, who used to be a general manager with the Memphis Grizzlies, who now works for the Athletic and discussed some of the draft picks and his grades. He really liked it. He thought Elijah Hughes was a first-round worthy player. Jazz got him at 39. Just by a value sense, that's good. We talked about this on, what's today, Thursday? We talked about this on Tuesday,
yeah,
how some people's boards would have a guy at 20 that's available at 40. And maybe that could very realistically be what the Jazz did with Elijah Hughes and getting a guy that a lot of other people projected very highly. So in that sense, I think there's good value there. He does feel a little bit more of a need. Syracuse is weird. Guys who get, they don't play man-to-man defense. They only play zone defense at Syracuse. So you can't tell whether or not those guys are good defenders when they get to the NBA. So it's a little bit of a gamble there. He was asked to do a lot at Syracuse. Like, he was asked to dribble a lot and create his own shot and pull up off the dribble and hit mid-range jump shots and shoot over people. And the Jazz don't need him to do that because the Jazz generate open shots, and they've got Donovan Mitchell who can do that, and they've got Bojan Bogdanovic and Mike Conley who can do that. He just needs to hit open threes when he gets the chance. And from what you've seen in college, he can do that when he gets those looks.
Ben Anderson joins us here on KSL's Unrivaled. He's our Jazz insider. You can see his byline, of course, at KSLSports.com. And Ben, one of the things, too, that I was interested in knowing about were some of these other moves and how important they were for kind of the money moving forward for the Jazz. You see, of course, Tony Bradley being moved, and then Ed Davis also being moved today. And so what are the other moves that were made today for the Jazz? What are the purpose of them, and what are we going to end up seeing because of those moves?
Okay, so before the Jazz traded Tony Bradley and Ed Davis today, they had about $8 million more on their books. So they were sitting at about $113 million in cap space or of salary cap money. Now, the luxury tax is $132 million. You can go above that number, but you can only go up to about $138 million, depending on what types of exceptions you use to sign players. Before I get too dorky here, it just means if you're over the cap, what type of money you
right,
can actually
sure.
spend. So if the Jazz, you can get one of those exceptions is worth about $10 million, just to give you a square number. That's the mid-level exception. That's also about what Jordan Clarkson's going to cost. So the Jazz could have signed Jordan Clarkson for $10 million and then had the other $10 million on that exception to come back, but they would have been at $120 million or $130 million at that point. And if they were there, they're already at the luxury tax, and then they have to fill out the rest of their roster.
Right.
So that becomes tricky. What they've done essentially is given themselves another $8 million in room to operate, to sign those guys. By doing that, it actually opens up another smaller exception they can use for about $3.5 million. And because they can do that, they can get a better player.
Real quickly, what's your overall grade for the Jazz on their draft day and their moves over the last day?
C minus on Azubuike and maybe a B plus on Elijah Hughes. So and the trade was smart. You had to get rid of some money. So overall, I'll give him a B minus.
Okay. Hey, that's like my college in a nutshell. I feel okay about that. That's everything's okay right there in that B range.
Hey,
all right,
passing grade gets you a degree. That's all Ben, you got to do.
B's get degrees. Ben Anderson, you can read his byline at KSLSports.com. Go do that. Get yourself smarter on those Jazz topics. We appreciate Ben joining us. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Got a score update, too, going into halftime with this Seahawks-Cardinals game. Stay with us here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby?
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.